Let's now turn to the Holy Scriptures. We turn to the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament and the chapter 15, the Gospel of Luke and the 15th chapter. Commencing reading at the verse 1. This is the word of Almighty God. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to truly receive his word. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. And let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what things these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. As soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed him for him, the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. So reads God's infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. We thank the Lord for his word, and we pray that he might bless it to our needful and never dying souls, and it will all be to the glory of his name. As we come to hear his word at this gospel preaching hour, may the Lord draw near to our hearts. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you in your hearing just a moment ago there in the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 15. And in complete dependence upon the Lord graciously enabled me this evening to minister to your souls and to the glory of God's name. Dear friends, I want to look at the first part of this chapter where the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself to the Jewish leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as the Good Shepherd who came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And dear friends, as we gather this afternoon around God's word, let me just say this one thing. The fact that this world has not spiraled into oblivion, the fact that Judgment Day has not come yet, is that Christ still has sheep to save. And I pray that maybe even those listening afar off on the internet or those gathered with us, the Lord might even be pleased to draw you to himself. And we know that it is through the preaching of the word. It's by no other means, by the word and by the Spirit. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will so minister to hearts this evening through the word of Christ. All I am is a messenger of God's word. And I hope that the Lord will use me, even my feeble words, to convey the glories of the truth of Christ as we see it written here. So I point you, notice, to the verse 2 as we come to this chapter. In the verse 1 we read that there are those that draw near unto him. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. A great number of people out of every, it seems, class, great publicans. The publicans were despised, these tax collectors by the Jews. They were collecting on behalf of the Romans. No doubt amongst them were also, when it says sinners there, harlots, the prostitutes, outcasts of society, people that were looked down upon by the religious, so-called religious class of the day. All these gather around the Lord Jesus, and there is great scorn coming from the lips. There is great murmuring coming from the lips of the Pharisees, notice, and the scribes. And the scribes, verse 2, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He not only receives them, talks to them, but he sits down and he eats with them. Now, that does not mean he did the things that they did, some like to interpret, but he drew near to them and he preached the gospel and he spoke of the great need, and these things that are said in this entire chapter fell upon their ears. How wonderful that is, that he spoke to these great sinners and they needed to hear it. And my friends, all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. Pharisees, scribes, everybody else included here, all are sinners and all need to hear the words of the Lord himself. And you notice on the back foot of their response in the verse 2, they say, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, on the back foot of that, he proceeds to give not one parable, not two parables, but three parables about lostness, people being lost in this world. And the Lord Jesus, of course, is the great shepherd who has come to save that which is lost, his sheep that are lost in this world. And you know, on several occasions, the Lord Jesus Christ, he emphasized that there are two people in this world, two kinds of people. Of course, in one sense, there is only one kind of person, isn't there? All have sinned. Yes, we could put the whole of man in that category. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. But there are those who are sheep, and every one, as we read here in the 100 of the Lord's sheep, it's just a figurative number. The Lord will seek every one of those. And then there are those who are not sheep, and they will not be saved. And that's very solemn. But these that come to hear him, as we've already observed, are great sinners. And so as we come to this passage, let's just go in our mind's eye and think of one of the primary purposes of these parables. There are three parables that flow one to another, but the primary purpose of these parables is addressed into the ears, really, of the so-called religious people. Notice the verse 1, the setting and the context is Jewish religious hypocrisy. And my friends, you have that in the church. You may not be a Jew, but there is religious hypocrisy in churches today. There are those that would say that they are God's people, but they know not God, and they know not the Savior. And they are as lost as the Pharisees and the scribes were. So let's notice the context. Then drew near to him, unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now the first thing we notice there is that the publicans and the sinners drew near to hear him. But that's not true of the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, there are many that gather and go into church, but they don't really go to hear Christ. They don't go to hear the word of God. There are many that'll go into a church, but they'll go out of a sense of form. Maybe that's you. I wonder tonight, you've come, what have you come for? Have you come to listen? Have you come to listen to God's word? Well, you're hearing a preacher, but God has sent his preachers to preach his word. And we want to hear Christ. We want to hear him. Notice, the Pharisees otherwise, yeah, the scribes murmured. And so often this is the case, isn't it? With, you know, I don't want to divide the congregation, but we may rightly do that. We can put a line down the middle of all that would hear tonight. A line. There are those that are listeners and for Christ, and those who are there really just to murmur, to complain, and to pick fault with the word of God. You hear maybe out of obligation, but not really in heart. The Pharisees were here, and the scribes, not because they wanted to hear. And so really, you notice, the verse 3 begins, as they say, this man, the end of verse 2 there, receiveth sinners. And then it says, verse 3, and he spake a parable unto them. These three parables that will flow now from the lips of the Son of God really primarily are directed to the so-called religious, and they need to learn a lesson. They need to learn the truths here contained. Now, when we read there, this man receiveth sinners, they came with these words of scorn. And you know, they thought perhaps we'll shame him in front of the crowd. But really, there's no ridiculing the Son of God, is there? These so-called religious leaders should have been the shepherds of God's people, but they were not. They were not at all. They come with words pouring scorn. And in one sense, as you notice the words here, this man receiveth sinners, as if they couldn't believe it. Surprise, words not only of scorn, but words of surprise. These are the words of his enemies, but actually they are words of praise, we would say. We have no shame in what the Lord Jesus Christ here has to say about sinners being saved and him drawing near to them. And so, as I said, he immediately proceeds to give three parables. And the first, which is what we'll look at this evening, is about the 100 sheep. It's the parable of the 100 sheep. And notice the verse 3 there. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? So this shepherd has 100 sheep. Now it's just a round figure. And the 99 is reminding us, the 99 are in the fold and they are with the Lord. And he is the good shepherd. He's just reminding that he has a complete fold. And what we see with this first parable, if you like, is a complete fold. And it's true to say that every one of God's people shall be with him. And there'll be no accidents, no surprises, or anything like that in heaven. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and I shall in no wise cast out. And then we see the second parable. It's the parable of the 10 pieces of silver. Another round number, we could say, of a woman. And in those days, 10 pieces of silver wasn't a great deal of money. But this woman, she's obviously quite poor, and she loses one of the pieces of silver. Notice the verse 8. He has the second parable. Either also, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she hath called her friends. She calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And what that parable is teaching us is that the Lord values every individual one of his sheep equally. As this woman, as if, and this is astonishing, as if he values the whole lot. He leaves the 99 behind to go after the one that is lost. That's astonishing, isn't it, to think that that one is as precious? Well, because he died for such sheep. He's the good shepherd. We want to think of him tonight. And maybe you are one of the Lord's sheep, and the Lord is perhaps drawing you through his word, and maybe you feel, well, I'm not such a good sheep after all. Isaiah 53, the verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now that does not mean the world, dear friend. That verse, Isaiah 53, 6, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, that's all the sheep. There are sheep and there are goats in this world. There are those that will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the sheep. The goats will not. And you may feel, well, I have strayed in my life so badly. Could the Lord have mercy on me, sinner? Well, he goes out and he seeks that sheep until he finds it and he brings it home. The value which the shepherd has on each and every one of his sheep. Now that's tremendous. And therefore, no one who is Christ could ever have sinned so far that grace will say enough is enough. That sinner sinned far too far in their lives, and they're beyond all hope. We think of Manasseh. A very wicked and evil man. and perhaps even Nebuchadnezzar, if indeed he was saved, but they're great wretches. We think of the Apostle Paul, one who sinned against the church of the living God, who did terrible things to God's church, who maybe thought that he was beyond the pale, so to speak, and without any hope. And maybe you feel that you're beyond hope. Well, the Lord loves each and every one of his sheep, and he goes after them. And that's what we'll see here this evening. And then there is, last of all, you notice in the verse 11 to the verse 13, there is the parable of the prodigal son. There are two sons there, and we do believe, of course, he's addressing Jews here. The Jews act like the elder brother. Indeed, you know, full of pride. I've obeyed all thy commandments, Father. And there are many like the Jews in the church. They think because they've kept, or so-called, or they think they've kept God's commandments, but far from it. They are lost, as the prodigal was. And that's how the Jews were. They took great pride. He eateth with sinners. We're not sinners. We're good people. We're clean. We're Pharisees. We're scribes. We're religious. We wear all the right robes. We say all the right things. We hang out the right places. We don't hang around with sinners. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ never hung around with sinners, but he received them. He spoke to them. He addressed them. He entreated them. And that's what I pray the Lord might do tonight through his word. Entreat you. May the overtures of God's grace come. We know not who are the Lord's. But the Lord Jesus did say, my sheep hear my voice, and they come to me, and I give them eternal life. So the first thing we want to see, notice the verse 2 there. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now notice there, his reply, he says, what man of you, he's reasoning on human terms here, if you were a shepherd and you had sheep, wouldn't you go after them? It's common sense. And the Lord Jesus has his sheep in this world, and he goes after them. They may run away from him for quite some time, and they'll be very bothered. Like some good shepherds, they'll tell you, some sheep, you know, till they're worn out, they have to get worn out before you can bring them back. You've got to let them get worn out, and they've got to come to that place where they realize that they just bring more ruin to themselves. Like the young prodigal. He came to himself. That is, he came to his senses. And you realize, as he realized, the world is not your friend. In teenagers, the world's not going to be your friend. They may claim to be, but they're not. Just like this young man, he spent all of his money. We read there, in riotous living, the older brother complains. Well, the Lord saves sinners. And he goes after his sheep. Notice, doth not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now maybe you might feel that the Lord is going after you. That's a good thing. So he's going after my heart. Every time I come and I listen to this preacher, seems like the Lord is going after my heart, troubling me. Well, that's a good thing. There's nothing worse than to sit under the ministry of God's word and not to be challenged. It's death. To feel comfortable under the ministry of God, it's a terrible thing. If your heart's not troubled. And, you know, the Bible tells us time and time again we're lost. And maybe you feel it. You're feeling it in your heart. I'm lost. Well, these Pharisees were lost. Some of them were saved, like Nicodemus, perhaps. We're not sure, but it seems that Nicodemus was there at the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. He may well have been a saved person in the end, but there were those who were saved. But then there are also great sinners, like these publicans and the harlots and everyone else. My dear friends, if we're not saved, we're going to be lost. Lost in this world and go to a lost eternity. No, it's not in man to seek God. Let me just tell you that. That's the truth. Some of you don't like to hear that, and I believe there are some Christians that don't like me to even preach that. But it's a fact. None seeketh after God. The apostle, he reminds us in Romans 3, none seeketh after God. No, not one. He's looking back to what God says in the Psalms, that nobody seeks after God. It is Christ that came into the world here, and there are those now that are flocking around him. But they weren't seeking him before. They were living licentious lives. They were involved in all kinds of things. But the Savior has come. And how does he come today? Well, he comes like he did to the Ephesian church. Now, how did he come to those? And I believe Christ comes to every church. Let me prove it to you. In Ephesians 2:14, we read there, the apostle there is speaking about Christ. He says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition, that is between Jew and Greek, between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, that's the body of Christ, so making peace, that is through himself, through the cross. And then he says, and that he might reconcile both unto God, that's Jew and Gentile, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And then you notice in the verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. Christ comes by his word, and by his spirit, and through the ministry of the preacher, and his preaching. The word is going forth. It's his work. Wherever true preaching is, the Spirit of Christ is there, surely. And he's doing the work. And he's saving. And the Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That is not an audible voice, but they hear the truth of God's word. And God's word tells them that they're sinners and they are far off from God. And there's a day of judgment coming. But this Savior died for such people. And no one feel themselves to be great sinners. How is it that he saved some there at Ephesus and not others? Well, because he came seeking. He went to the church there at Ephesus. And he visits places and he saves people. It's Christ by his Spirit. It's no glory to the preacher. I know that the day that the Lord saved me, I know it. He saved me. There was a work in my heart that began. I came out of darkness and into his light. And I began to see and feel things I'd never felt before. I know this. I know I could say I was once lost. But in that moment in time, I knew the Lord found me. And everything in the Bible began to make sense. God was teaching me that Christ died for me. He shed his blood. And by nature, you know, God's word says there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Romans 3:11. None. But in mercy, Notice the text, Christ, he comes. And here he is amongst people. And he saves, he draws sinners. You know, you and I, we come into this world and we spend our lives running away from God. That's really how we're born. Your mother brought you forth. You may have been brought up in a Christian home, a Christian family, but you spend your life running away from God. You've sometimes been in the country and you see the sheep along the hillsides and you see them all over the place. That's us. We're far away from God, going from one blade of the grass, going from one thing to the next thing, ignoring that there is a day. There is a day when we'll have to meet our Maker. Many people here had begun to realize this. I don't know if you've begun to realize that. You don't know how long you're going to live. You may have a few years, you may have many years, but it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But there is a period known to God when he calls his sheep and they hear the word of God. And it may be for you tonight. Who can tell what the Lord might do? Well, how do you know whether the Lord's speaking to you? Do you feel sin? Do you feel dirty and guilty and filthy? Because really, that's how sheep are when they wander off and they get caught up in the briars and the thickets. And that's how we are. We've been entangled with this world, unsafe people, bad influences, no time for God. That's the way of the world, isn't it? But you know, there's a lovely hymn by John Kent, and it goes like this. There is a period known to God when all his sheep redeemed by blood shall leave the hateful ways of sin and turn to the fold and enter in. At peace with hell, with God at war, in sin's dark maze they wander far, indulge their lust and still go on as far from God a sheep can run. But we see how heaven's indulgent care attends their wandering here and there, still hard at heel, where's they stray, with pricking thorns to hedge their way. When wisdom calls, they stop their ear and headlong urge the mad career. Judgments nor mercies e'er can sway their roving feet to wisdom's way. There's a period known to God, and he draws, and you feel your lostness. Now, we've all grieved God because of sin, all of us. Every single one of us. None of us have pleased and lived to God's glory. The only person has been the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who will give his life as a ransom for many. And so really nobody is ever saved by their good works. Nobody is ever right before God because of their good works. The difference is, while all are sinners, some will be saved. Yes, that's the difference. Saved by grace. And the shepherd has come, notice there, to seek and to save. And you notice, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Of course, well, he knows where every one is. He is omnipotent and he is omniscient. But he will go after you. And sometimes we can be as terrible, silly sheep. And we can get ourselves in an awful state in the world like this prodigal son and get ourselves into such a mess. And that's no way to live. That's no way to live. You miss out on all the privileges. Think of that son as he left his father's house there. All the privileges he could have had for all that time. Thank the Lord he went back. He saw he was lost, without hope. I wonder to you, for you tonight, are you lost? You know, being here is not good enough, is it? You can sit under the ministry of God, but that's not good enough, is it? You can be as lost as anything. Like the Pharisees, I mean, they wore all the right things. They had the Word of God. They had the truth. They tithed. They did everything else. But they didn't have salvation. They didn't have forgiveness of sins. You know what their prayer was? I thank God I'm not like other people. But do you see yourself as God sees you? We just thank the Lord. Other people don't see us for what we are. But God sees us for what we are. And he doesn't save us because somehow we're better than others. Look at these. The publicans. The harlots. Tax collectors. Sinners. What did he say? I am not come to call the righteous, or the so-called righteous, but sinners. And what he's doing here, you see, because these Pharisees thought that they were the shepherds. We read in Jeremiah 50, verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray and have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. That was true back in the Old Testament. It's true now. When the Lord Jesus Christ looked out upon the masses of people, he said that they were as a sheep without a shepherd, lost. Well, we have gone like stray sheep. And the Lord, he rejoices in saving sinners. You know, we read that here. You notice there, he goes after that sheep. And when he finds it, what does he do? Does he scold the sheep? Does he beat it? No. And when he hath found it, verse 5, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. I remember one time in Africa in the bush, I was lost. My father used to take us shooting, camping. And sometimes I used to just wander out the camp. He said, one time, you know, son, the lion nearly got you. One time, a crocodile nearly got me. And I heard this rifle shot right behind me. And he had to kill the crocodile that was just about to take me. Well, what did my father do? He put me on his shoulders and he carried me back. And he spoke to me very gently, very kindly, and he warned me there's a great danger. And we've strayed against our God terribly. The wages of sin is death. But this Savior, what did he do? He went to the cross for his people's sin. That's amazing, isn't it? That God should so do that. That he should so love his people. Here is, you know who this is? This is the creator of the world that is standing amongst people. Such a good shepherd he is that he came into the world to seek. He's not Muhammad, a mere man, or Confucius, or Buddha, but he's God, come in the flesh, taken to himself, bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh. We are not dealing with anything else but God and the salvation that he gives to all his people. That's the love of God. The apostle says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the love of God. This is the Good Shepherd who left the glories of heaven, the glory which he had with the Father, to do what? To seek his sheep. Are they any better than the world? No. Some of them, in fact, have been far worse than most people in the world. The Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's worthy of all acceptation in this sense. Nobody can deny that Jesus Christ came into the world. We won't stretch that meaning of that text any more than the actual meaning of it. It means exactly that. Nobody can deny that Jesus Christ is worthy of everybody's acceptation, whether you're going to accept it or not. Facts are facts, and you don't argue with facts, that Jesus Christ came into the world. We mark history, we mark time by it, we mark everything else by it. And this is what the Pharisees should have known, because this is all in the Scriptures. They should have known the Scriptures. They should have been custodians, shepherds, but they were the blind leading the blind. But of course, a lot of people want to be blind. You know, the truth of the matter is we've sinned. We have come short of God's glory. But this is the good news. And the sheep hear it. And they know it. And they realize that there's nothing I could do to ever save myself. I must completely rely upon this man's righteousness, his life, and his blood. Shed blood for the forgiveness of my sins. There's no hope otherwise. He's the Good Shepherd. In this sense, he's the Good Shepherd. He feeds the sheep. What I'm preaching this afternoon is not very palatable to a lot of people. It's not food for the soul. I hope it's food for your soul. I'm telling you, this is the only food that tastes good. Because it's the only truth that can bring balm to my soul, to my guilty soul. He feeds the sheep. Psalm 23. He leadeth me beside still waters. He takes us to the green pastures. You see, this is the word of God. This is what do sheep like? Green grass. Not dry grass. I was listening to a preacher the other week, and he was saying, you know, you can hear the word of God, and what he had to say was very true. Some people, they hear truth. It's like they're eating dry grass. And they had one sheep that died, and they realized when they opened the stomach what was wrong with it. It was eating dry grass. And the word of God can come to you dry. If it's not attended by the Holy Spirit, who's teaching you these things, and the Word of God means something to your soul. You know, you can hear these truths, but they don't change your heart. And that's why the Spirit is identified as water that shall flow out of the belly. Yes. Is the word dry to you? Is it dry grass? That's a tragic thing. To have your spirit so hardened to the truth. Pray that the Lord might grant you his spirit, that the word will come and it'll be profitable to your soul. And it'll benefit you. But he's also the Good Shepherd, because he makes the sacrifice for the sheep. It'd be one thing, isn't it, if he just gave truth. Yes, he preaches the gospel, but at the end he doesn't give his life. What good is the gospel if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die? Well, this is why he died, to save sinners. That's the good news, isn't it? The good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's a good thing to know. He makes the sacrifice. He dies the just for the unjust. Without that, there's no gospel. He had to die. Justice was satisfied there at the cross. And then also, he's the good shepherd because, you know, he lives. He's not dead. Well, he's prophet. As prophet, he feeds the sheep. As priest, he makes the sacrifice, that of himself, not of a lamb. But he is also king. And as king, he lives now. He lives in heaven. Yes, that's where he lives. He's in heaven, and he's Lord of lords, and he's King of kings. When Pilate looked at him and said, I find no fault in him. No, he couldn't find any fault in him. And they placed a crown of thorns upon his head. And what did he say? My kingdom is not of this world. No, he's the King of heaven, and he's the King of glory, and he's the King of the world to come. And he's coming again. He's gone to prepare a place for them that love him. He calls his sheep, publicans, sinners, all kinds. Even the worst, you may feel, you're too far gone. But I tell you this, there's nobody too far gone for Christ. He saves all kinds. You don't want to linger long and far from him. It's the only thing I can say. It's a terrible thing to spend so much of your life apart from Christ. Because, you see, as he is your shepherd, he will bless your life. He will lead you in this life and bless you in so many ways. How gracious he is. He goes after. Maybe you feel, as I said, the Lord's going after you. The preacher's not going after you, but the Lord is. So he's speaking to your heart. Many people didn't like to hear him. Many people like to hear that they were good, that they were upright, that they were just. I'm afraid the church is full of people like that. And really, that's what you're saying. Lord, I appreciate what you're saying, but keep your distance. Well, that's not one of God's people. That's the lost. And God has decreed to save a people, and he will have a people. That's what we read here. See the woman, she's lost. One of those pieces of silver. She lights a candle to sweep the house, and she looks diligently. Let me say this. The Lord, he will light, and he will expose certain things. And, you know, it's like you're looking for something in the dark. He will find it. Of course, he knows where you're at. But maybe he is exposing certain things to your heart right now. And he's searching. He searches the hearts of men. And that's a good thing. But don't linger. Don't waste your time. Seek him now with all your heart. Because he's God. He is worthy of praise. He's worthy of your whole life. Why would you not? I remember, you know, when the Lord saved me. And I was asked various questions. Will I do this? Will I do that? When the Lord had saved me. Will you be baptized? Will you do this? Will you do that? Well, I kept saying, well, what does God's word say? And that's the right spirit to have, isn't it? What does God want me to do? That was Paul's first question to the Lord. What wouldst thou have me to do? And this is how it is when we have been forgiven. We realize what the Lord asks for us is not too much. I'm amazed some people call themselves Christians, but you know, to get them to do the most basic Christian things is like trying to get blood out of a stone. But not so for God's people. You see this young man, he comes back to his father's house, the prodigal son, and he's willing to serve even as the servants. The church is full of people who don't want to serve. And that's sad, isn't it? You wonder, has there ever been a work of conversion in the heart? The Lord Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. When you realize that you have sinned against God and you are not worthy of the least of his mercies, like the prodigal son who returns home, and yet forgiveness is shown you, that's when you see a person live differently. Let me just say, none of us deserve to be even alive this afternoon. You deserve to be in hell as I do. We deserve the everlasting flames and fires of hell. And that the fact that you're breathing and you're alive is only on account of God's forbearance. Look at these Pharisees. What a proud, obnoxious bunch of people. You sit down and you eat with sinners? Well, what are you? What am I? That's all we are. But the Lord Jesus is a very gracious Savior. And he will save. You see, the Pharisees thought that when the Messiah comes, it will be a seek and search and destroy mission. But little did they know that they were outside of the kingdom of God. And you know, you can be a little Pharisee this afternoon, and outside of the kingdom of God, thinking that maybe you're here, you're listening, and you're in the kingdom. But without the forgiveness of sins, and without confessing them and repenting toward God, and faith in our Lord Jesus, you'll be as lost as these blind leading the blind. But you know, he is so gracious. He will come and he will save those, his sheep, who even lived as such. I don't know whether the Lord will save you, but cry out unto him. Say, Lord, thou savest sinners. And that's all I am. I've got nothing, nothing to present myself, nothing to commend myself. As I close, do you realize God is absolutely holy? And there is no ways that he could ever accept one of us on the basis of our lives. Our sins condemn us. But the only one who can commend us to God is Christ, because he lived for his sheep and he died for them. And that's salvation. It's full and free in that sense. Yes, it doesn't cost you anything in one sense. But you will have to follow him. And well, when you're saved, you're just thankful that he saved you and he will make you followers of him. That's the amazing thing. He says, I will write my laws in their hearts. That's it. He does it. Gives a new heart. Some people are worried, oh, if I become a Christian, how am I going to? That's a good thing, in a way. It's good you're concerned. Some people aren't concerned. Oh, I'll just become a Christian and that's it. Whoopee, I'm saved. But the true spirit is this. I want to honor this God that saved me and loved me. That's the right spirit. And if you have those anxious cares, I say good. Because that's the spirit of everyone that is truly forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are his sheep. He says, they hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Well, may the Lord, who is the diligent shepherd, who seeks after all of his, may he continue to search the hearts of people. And if he is indeed, you know, trouble over heart tonight, give your soul no rest, I say, till you come to that repentance of your sins and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He will give both. Seek him. Ask him. His sheep are precious to him. Vile as they are, sinful as they are, they're all precious in his sight. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Well, may the Lord bless his word. David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Oh yes, what are we? Nothing. But Christ is all. Amen.